So we learned that you can't take chametz and make it into truma. Why? It says the Gemara, Amakra Rishis, Sheshiria Nikarn, the Yisrael. The point of the truma is to be mati the shirayim for Yisrael. So if the shirayim is chametz, if we're dealing with truma's chametz, and everything is aser at any rate, you're not going to be mati the shirayim for Yisrael? So the truma doesn't work. Ask Rukivega. If that's the case, so why is this dependent on the truma being chametz? Mar says you can't take chametz and make it into truma because the shirayim are not going to be mutar l'Yisrael. Let's say if you have a basket of food and the truma which you're separating happens to be chametz, but the rest is not chametz. So you're separating grain from grain. The portion that you're separating as truma happens to be chametz, but the rest, the shirayim, is not chametz and perfectly edible, mutar l'Yisrael. In that case, it should be mutar. What's the problem? Shirei nikar, yar shirei nikar. The rest is mutar l'Yisrael. So why does the Gemara say that a person can't be mafresh truma which is chametz? We have a case where it's not a concern. If the shirayim is not chametz, then you're okay. So it's not totally in the truma whether or not it's chametz. It's totally in the shirayim. If the shirayim is edible, then you've created edible leftovers, even if the truma happens to be chametz. That's a Rekiv Egas kasha. So Rashash brings that it's actually a Rishami who asks his kasha, and he says that it won't work. Why? Because in this case, where although the shirayim are edible, it's non-chametz, but since the truma that you're separating is chametz, and chametz itself does not need truma, right? It's something which is potter, right? If you have an entire supply of chametz, you can't separate a little chametz for the rest, right? Because it doesn't have shirei nikaron. So chametz conceptually is something which is not chayiv in truma, right? So now, although the shirayim happens to be mutar l'Yisrael, but since the truma itself, which you're trying to separate, is chametz, that chametz entity is exempt from the concept of truma. We know that one cannot be mafresh something which is potter betruma to exempt something which is chiv. You can't be mafresh mina ptura lachiv. Right? You can't be mafresh something which was, let's say, grown by a guy to be used as truma for something grown by Yisrael. Because the truma has to relate to the rest. It has to be both in the same category. Both are obligated to truma. So says Rashash, in this case, where the chametz is inherently exempt from truma, as we learn from the pasuk, because if you have a supply of chametz, there's no need to be mafresh truma because it's not shirei nikaron, it's not mutar l'Yisrael, it's considered to be potter from truma. So even in the case of the Rekiv Eger, where the truma is chametz but the rest isn't, and the rest is nikaron l'Yisrael, you can't use this chametz as truma because truma inherently is exempt from the concept of truma, so it's considered to be something menaptur alachiv. It won't work in any case. Okay, so we proceeded with the concept of juice within fruit. According to Rav Yechanan, we say a chiddush mifkat pkidi is considered to be like as though it's deposited in the skin of the fruit. As Rashi says, like you place mashke in a kli. So in this case, the fruit is the kli, and the mashkin is the content of the kli. Rav Chizda disagrees. He says, who's going to listen to this? No. Juice and fruit are one and the same entity. The Gemara brought a raya to Rabbi Yechanan and a raya to Rabbi Chizda. Let's begin with the raya to Rabbi Yechanan. We have a Mishnah which says that a tamei mace squeezed the olives, squeezed the grapes. So if it only had a kibetza to begin with, then the juice is tar. Isn't this a raya? That juice is considered to be a separate entity from its fruit. Says Rabbi Chizda, not so fast. We're speaking that there was no heksher. The fruit itself never became wet, never became hukshal kabatuma. So, even according to my shita, I hold that juice is considered to be embedded and absorbed within the fruit itself. In this case, no concern. Why is no concern? Because the fruit itself never became tummy. So what happens? He squeezes this kibetza volume, kibetza worth of fruit. As soon as some liquid comes out, yeah, the fruit now has come into contact with liquid, but it will remain tar. Now, the question is, why will it remain tar? Why will the fruit and the mashka within it not become tame? Look, now we have juice, which is making the fruit hukshel kabatuma. It's no longer dry, it became wet through its juice. So now when the tamei mace is handling this fruit, which is hukshel kabatuma, let everything become tame, the fruit and the juice within. So Tosis brings the name of the Ri, that we learn from a pasuk that if it's less than a kibetza, it cannot be mekabel heksha. So hukshel kabatuma only applies to a kibetza worth of eichlin, in this case where he already squeezed out some of the juice. So the resulting, the total volume of the fruit is merely less than a kibetza. It cannot receive heksha from that juice. So not only is the juice within it tar, but everything's tar. The fruit itself was not hukshel kabatuma because it has less than a kibetza volume. That's one pshat. The Rav Chalava has a different pshat. He says that even if you'll say that the fruit itself now became hushal kabatuma, I come into contact with the liquid. So the skin of the grapes are now hushar and receive tuma from the tomatoes. Who's handling them? But that will remain on the fruit level. It won't be transferred over to the juice within. Why? Aren't we speaking about Chitas Rav Chisda, who considers them both to be one and the same entity? Mashke mibel bli. If the fruit becomes tummy, so the juice becomes tummy. Says the Maran Chalava. No. This case will be different. Why? Rav Chisda was speaking where he has fruit which hasn't yet been squeezed. So he says the juice within it is considered to be one and the same with the fruit. It's one entity. But says the Maram Chalava, once you begin to squeeze the juice out of the fruit, you've separated two things, one from the other. Even according to this Shita, from here on in, juice and fruit are considered to be separate entities. Look, the juice is on its way out. It's flowing out. It no longer identifies with its parent fruit. Therefore, in this case, even if the fruit itself will become tame, but since we already began squeezing it, the shechita process has begun. The juice now, according to all shittas, is no longer integrally connected to the fruit, considered to be a separate entity, and will not be mekabel tuma from that fruit, because we're speaking that the fruit itself doesn't have a share, it's less than a kibetz. So although the fruit remains tame, but the juice will remain tar. Okay, so that was the first raya to Rav Yechanan. Apparently the fruit and the juice are considered two separate entities because the juice remains tar, and the Rav Chisda responded was speaking there was no heksher, and therefore the juice remained tar, as we just explained. The Gemara raya to Rav Chisda. Brisa says that the tusin, those berries, the anovim, which became tummy, so we're dealing with truma tzmeya, they're useless, worthless, the kohen can't have any benefit from it. Apparently, says Rav Chisda, you can't even squeeze it. There's a right to my sheet. Juice and fruit are one entity. The fruit is tummy, the juice is tummy. As to Ashash, but the Rambam brings that only the primary liquids can be kamotuma. Juice of berries made tusim are not considered to be a proper liquid halachically, not regarded as a proper liquid, and they're not kamotuma. So, at any rate, this juice coming out of the tusin are going to be tar. So Rav Chisda was bringing a raya from here. Look, I have a raya that juice and fruit are considered to be one and the same entity. That's why if the fruit becomes tame, the juice within it also becomes tame, and that's why the Brisa says has no purpose, has no use. Even according to him, we're going to have a difficulty here because the juice within the tusin are not considered proper mashkin and will remain tar, really tar, even if the parent fruit becomes tummy. Made tusin, juice from these berries, are not makabel tuma. So why does the Brisa consider them to be useless? So some Nachroyim, they say like this. Juice coming out of these grapes are not considered proper mashkin. We had this in the Gemara earlier that it's considered zeya ba'alma. Only real juice, grape juice, etc., is considered to be a real mashkin. But just fruit juice is considered zeyabama, like sweat. It's just a residual moisture coming out of this fruit. It doesn't have the essence, the entity, the true essence of that fruit. So true, the kohen perhaps can partake in the juice coming out of the tusin, but that's not called a proper hanah, properly benefiting from the fruit, from the tusin, but merely enjoying the liquid, the zeya squeezed out of it. It's not considered a proper mashke, not a proper hanah. That explains the brisa. Why is the brisa considered the tusin as something which is lacking value, which is worthless to the kohen if it's tamei? Because although, as we just said, the juice within it remains tar throughout, but just benefiting from the juice in those berries is not considered proper hanah. It's a very indirect, incidental, secondary hanah, and therefore, technically, these two are not really providing a proper benefit, and therefore considered to be something lacking worth and lacking value.